Well, Father, we just we come to you and we bless you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, that you're never going to forsake us, that you're never going to leave us, Lord. We thank you for that word that you've given us. And your word, of course, is forever settled in the word, and it's the final authority. And I praise you for that, Lord. I praise you for all the things that, the light that you've given us, Lord. And Father, we glorify you tonight. We want to do that. We want to glorify you in everything that we do, Father, because we can't do anything without you. We can't boast on anything but you, Lord. Your grace and your mercy, Lord, we boast in that, because if it wasn't for your grace and your mercy, Lord, we wouldn't be here. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that for a special anointing tonight on everybody here, Father. And we thank you for that, Lord. I ask, Lord, that healing and deliverance would be manifested over this fellowship tonight. And that you would confirm your word, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you do confirm your word. And I thank you, Lord, for the testimonies and the praise reports tonight that bring that out in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that tonight is going to be an awesome time with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless us, Lord, as we bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. Let's see. I don't know who that is. That Joe and Nora? Unknown caller just came in. Listen, everybody, mute your microphones. And if you don't know how, let me know and I'll mute it for you. I'll get you, Kurt. Is that you, Mia? And
yeah.
Anna?
Yeah.
Do y'all
yeah.
know how to mute your phone?
Yeah.
Okay. I can hear that baby in there. Praise God. Okay. Let's see. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Anybody need prayer or would like to pray about something tonight? God is here.
Michael?
Yeah, Linda.
I have a friend that's an oil attorney that has had, he's a Baptist, but he really loves the Lord. He even is a Bible teacher. But he has been dealing with impossible pain for like 2.5 years. He called me yesterday, and I prayed and gave scriptures, you know, on what sozo means, what salvation means, that healing, if you're saved, you're healed, and we activate it with the measure of faith that God has put in us by saying, thank you for healing me on the cross and by his stripes. But anyway, he's just sort of devastated, and I wish my husband was here to minister to him. So could you pray, and just, the pain is so severe, he said, I just can't get away from it, and other things are going wrong with my body. He said, it's like I'm Job. And so could you pray for him since Bill isn't here?
Sure. What's his name?
Mike.
All right, does Mike believe that God can heal him?
Well, you know, he's this Baptist and he knows the Bible, and I'm trying to talk him into it. You know, that's what, you know, salvation means. Part of it is, you know, you are healed.
Okay, what we're going to do, we're going to pray for him, and the next time you talk to him, said Bill, or not to Bill, Mike, we prayed for you. You're healed. Now all we have to do is thank him for it. So we just continually thank him for it.
Yes, and would you, when you pray, pray for the forgive him of the spirit of unbelief. I think that's, you know, Baptists aren't taught much. No?
No.
And I think he's dealing with unbelief, you know? So,
well, let's just pray that God would open up the word to him.
Thank you.
He'll find it himself. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up Mike to you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for his heart towards you. But Father, he's in that Baptist church, Lord, as you know, and he's stuck in them between them four walls. He can't get outside the walls. He's got you in a box, Lord. I ask and I pray, Lord, that you would open up the gospel of the true good news, the real good news, Lord, that your promises are still good for today, and you still heal, you deliver, and you set free the captives that are in bondage. And Father, we thank you for doing that for Mike. And in the name of Jesus right now, we command that religious spirit to go from him right now in Jesus' name. We command those blinders off of him in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you place it in his heart to search out those scriptures that talk about faith, that search out those scriptures that talk about healing. And Lord, we thank you for opening his eyes up to see that the word is a lot more to it than what his Baptist teachers have taught him. And Lord, we thank you for that, and that now you're going to set him free from that religious spirit. Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for it. And we come against that spirit of pain on Mike right now in Jesus' name. And we command you to go right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that there is no more pain in Mike in Jesus' name. Pain, go right now in the name of Jesus. Blinders, come off in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that he's going to be a totally different man because of what you're doing for him, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for this mighty, mighty miracle that you're going to perform for Mike in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that you placed everybody in here with great faith to believe that what we pray tonight is going to happen in Jesus' name. And we're looking for the good report.
Thank you,
Father. And we thank you, Lord, for the good report in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah, Lord, for Mike in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that he's going to be a lawyer for you, Lord, instead of a lawyer for all in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else?
Hello, Michael.
Hi, Gano.
Tracy called, and she asked for prayer, and so I was just going to pray for her. She's kind of going through a tough time right now.
Okay. Go ahead.
And,
we'll believe with you.
Okay. Father, I just thank you for your love and your care for Tracy, and I just pray that as she's gone through this time, that you would renew her energy, that you would give her your strength, that you would give her a clear mind, and I just bind up the spirit of fear, spirit of stress and confusion. And I just pray that when she takes her mom for an appointment, that you will give her peace, that you also put a peace on her mother. And I just pray that Tracy would be led by your spirit, that you would give her the questions to ask, you would give her the answers to give. And I also pray that while she's gone with her parents for this weekend, that you would send your angels to protect her home. And also that you would convict the hearts of those who have been taking things from her when she's gone. You know she's had people breaking into her home. And we just pray, Father, that you would convict their hearts to stop. And I also pray for her for Monday. She's having a tooth extracted. And I just pray that this extraction will go well. And I just forbid any infection or complications. And Father, I just pray that you would give her a peace of mind over all of the things that are before her. I just give her a peace and a rest. She's been missing a lot of sleep, and I just pray, Father, that you would make it possible, make a way for her to get some rest, even while she's at her parents' home. And just be with her and strengthen her. And I thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for delivering her mother too, Father. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. We've already prayed the prayer of faith, Lord. We're just believing. We're believing, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else?
I'll just take a quick prayer. It doesn't have to be much. Just got a little sore back. We'll just agree that it's gone. Just kind of bent wrong, and it's kind of been a little irritating the past couple of days. And so in the name of Lord Jesus, we come together in agreement that this pain has to go and there's no problems there. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for healing my back too, Lord. I have a little problem with it today, but I rebuke that enemy that's trying to come on my back, and I command it to go too, in Jesus' name. You got to go. The Word says it. You got to do it, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else?
Michael?
Yeah, Cheryl. How you doing, girl?
I'm blessed. I have a praise report, plus also I have a prayer need. I'll give the praise report first. I went to go get my youngest son from school, and they have a lot of road construction. They're at this light, and so the lanes are kind of off-centered, and these girls came and run right out in front of me, and I just knew that I was going to hit her and get out of the car and it be all messed up, but for some miracle, we just only exchanged paint. And so I just want to praise the Lord for keeping my vehicle and for hers and their safety and our safety, and that there wasn't any wreck. I don't know how we didn't collide. So I just want to praise the Lord for that.
And, amen.
I was also, you know, able to just witness to them that it was by the grace and the mercy of the Lord that we didn't collide. So. I just want to give him the praise and also pray for those girls that they will take heed to, to searching out the Bible and seeking the Lord. So I want to thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
My son lives with my ex-husband, and he has him in karate, and I've already... You know, I already let him know that I don't agree with it, and I've been real nice and humble about it. And he called me today because his boss committed suicide, and so they don't have, you know, he stole from the company, so he hasn't been getting paid, and he's wanting me and my stepdad to help kind of finance the karate, you know, and I just told him very nicely and humbly that I don't, you know, want to support that, and that if they needed food or any kind of electric bill or any kind of other thing, that we could support, you know, that we'd be, you know, I'd be more than glad to do that. And I just wanted, you know, I was real humble and I wasn't ugly. And he gets very upset with me because I told him I didn't want, you know, I said the Lord has changed my heart and, you know, I want to, you know, go with what the Word says, and he gets real ugly with me and tells me, you know, that he won't be as generous with the days that he's been giving me when my son has time off. So I just want the Lord to work in his heart to not take any extra days away, to still continue to be generous with days when my son has off, and not to punish my son for it, but for the Lord to change his heart and also to bring him to the understanding of the Word. And I just thank the Lord for helping me to stay humble and peaceable and gentle, and to also continue to have faith because I could take him back to court and get my son back, but I'm trusting that the Lord's going to do a miraculous miracle and bring my son back home with me, because he wants to come and live with me, but I'm wanting to have a testimony, praise the Lord, of his awesome work that he can do without going through the arm of the flesh.
Amen. We believe with you, and we thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that. We cast down that witchcraft in the name of Jesus as null and void. And, Father, we thank you that he's going to allow her son to come visit whenever he wants to in the name of Jesus, Lord, and we thank you for that. We praise you, Lord, for taking Cheryl to the cross and still nailing her old man up there, Father. We just praise you for that. And she's overcoming, Father. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father.
All right. Anybody else? Is that all, Cheryl? You want some more?
I just want to pray for her sister that she comes back to the Lord, and she just given mercy and grace, and also given understanding and faith. And I just pray that he draw her back to him, and he knows who she is, and to let her know that I love her, and that the Lord loves her, and come back to the truth in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for bringing her back.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael. I'd like to have everybody agree with me in prayer for our cousin who's fairly recently been diagnosed with cancer. His name is Steve. So, Father, I lift up Steve before you, Father. He's known you in the past. I don't know what the relationship is now, Father, but I ask you to use this situation to draw him to you. Father, I ask you to heal him and let him know that it's a miracle from your hand, Father. I speak healing to his body in Jesus' name. Spirit of cancer, I command you out of him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for healing Steve's friend of that cancer. In Jesus' name. All right. You know what? I'm going to start keeping, if y'all don't mind, I'm going to take a little bit of time and write these prayer requests down, because I want to start logging what God does in this fellowship, like we talked about the other night. And I've got a little notebook here, and I'm going to start writing the dates down and when we pray, and then the prayer report, the praise reports that we get afterward, and then we'll go back and check and see, you know. So I think I'm going to do that for us, and we'll have a log here of all the prayers that God has answered. I should have been doing it all along, but that was just my laziness, I guess. But God's moved on me to do this, so that's what we're going to do. So, anybody else got any prayer requests?
I got a question. I'd like to know if Cheryl's ex-husband's a Christian or not.
No, he's not.
But let's pray for his salvation, then.
And he's living with a woman that has been really good to my son. So I just praise the Lord that he's brought somebody in his life to also take care of my son while I'm not there to do it. So I've been praying for the whole family. You know, for the whole, you know, his girlfriend and her daughter and his daughter and her children. So I've been praying for all their salvation.
Okay. Lord, we just thank you for bringing them all to the Lord, to you, Lord.
Amen. And Michael, I also would like prayer. Also, one of my sons went on a trip to Austin, and he hasn't been completely delivered from, I mean, he's been doing some things that the Lord has been changing in his heart and his life and Ronnie. But I know that there's going to be some drugs and alcohol because he's going to a birthday party, and I just pray for divine protection, and I just pray that also the demons, the alcoholic demons and the sorcery demons and the drug demons and all that and the sexual agreements and what all entails in the partying nowadays, that I command that that there be guardian angels all around about that house that they celebrate in, that no horrible, you know, evil demons can come and wreak havoc in any of their lives, and just like I prayed before, where that God can even keep them from even getting drunk, and I just pray that the ministering angels will be there to minister to their spirit, that even that party can turn around and go the other direction, in the way of the Lord, and just I just want to pray for extra protection, that any of them children there, well, actually they're young adults, that they be safe and there be no you know, harm come to any of them, because I know there's probably going to be some really bad drugs there. But so I'm just praying against those evil spirits of you know, drugs, and to keep my son also from not giving in, because the Lord has delivered him from some heavy drugs, and he still has a foothold. You know, there's a foot there with the lesser so-called drugs, and I just pray the Lord for the deliverance from the real heavy ones, and just continue to work in him to completely deliver him from all drugs and alcohol, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we put our faith together with Cheryl, and we count it as all done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, that was your son you're talking about?
Yes, sir. He's going to Austin with some friends. It's his friend's sister's birthday, and they're going to have a party at a house. And I'm just praying that the Lord can work. You know, he's done miracles in the past where I prayed that he didn't get drunk and high and all that. And the Lord answered my prayer. So I'm going to just pray something good comes out of this somehow, and I know he can work his way in there. So and also for protection, that none of them be taken out until they can bear the fruit of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I believe it, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Lord, you know what's going on everywhere, and you can save him out of all that mess. Matter of fact, you can have a revival starting right there in that room. We thank you, Lord. Whatever it's going to take, Lord. In the name of Jesus. All right. Anyone else?
Hey, Michael?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was wondering if you could pray for my dad, please. His name is Tim Barnard. He is having a lot of back pain this morning, and he's had it off and on for like 30 years since he broke his back. And if you could just pray for him, that'd be awesome. I'd really appreciate it.
Okay, did you say his back was bothering him?
Yeah, it's off and on, but it's of how bad it is, but it's always bad.
All right, it's back pain?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and his name is Tim?
Yeah.
Okay. Father, we lift up Tim to you. Lord, is he a Christian?
Yes, and he's had other healings before, but this one's just kind of, you know, going back and forth.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, then he's not under the curse. Lord, we thank you that you pulled him out from under the curse when he accepted you, Lord, and we praise you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Right now, we come against that back pain in Tim. We command it to go. We command that back, that spine, to line up with the Word of God and be healed in the name of Jesus. Every joint in that back be healed in the name of Jesus, that he would have no more problems in Jesus' name. The back, the broke back, will not even show up anymore, because God, when you heal, you do a great job. You restore. And we praise you, Father, for that. In the name of Jesus, Tim, you're healed. Back pain, go. Right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that Tim is healed. And next time that she talks to her dad, he's going to tell her. Man, I don't know what happened, but boy, just the other night, that Thursday night, man, that pain left me, and I ain't had a problem with it since. When you're going to be able to tell him, well, that was God, because we prayed for you, and we all believed for you. Praise God. Woo, Jesus. I just feel that in my heart. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Is that all? I keep forgetting your name. I'm sorry.
It's Anna.
Okay.
That's fine. It's Anna.
You say you? Emma?
Anna. A-N-N-A.
Oh, Anna. Okay. Yeah, I remember now. I'm going to write that down. Matthew and then Anna. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Look for it, Anna, because it's going to happen. I just believe it. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Got a prayer request? Well, all right. Let's see. I was going to pray about something a while ago, and let's see. Well, no, I guess it wasn't worth remembering. I didn't remember. Okay. Lord, I thank you for giving me the mind of a steel trap, Lord. I thank you for my memory. In Jesus' name, I praise you, Father, that you're restoring it better than it was before, Lord, and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you. Anybody else need their memory restored? I know all of you got a memory like a steel trap, but, you know, sometimes it seems like it's a little weak.
I do.
All right. Lord, we thank you for restoring Matthew's memory. Man, that he would bring up those files when he needs them, Lord. That hip filing system still works. That memory bank is still working. And, Father, we thank you that he has got complete control over his memory, Father, and we thank you for it because you have healed him in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for that.
My wife and I.
Okay, Wade.
Wade and Jeanette. We both.
All right. Lord, I thank you for Wade and Jeanette's memory being restored too, Father. That every cell that's been messed up by whatever, Lord, we thank you for restoring every one of them, that you're going to restore their memory banks, their mind, and everything else, Lord. And they have the mind of Christ now, in Jesus' name. And the mind of Christ is not under the curse, and they can remember everything in Jesus' name. Praise you,
thank
Father.
You.
Michael.
All right.
Michael?
Yeah, Linda?
Medical science, it's in the medical journals, the last few years have discovered that our brains are capable of remembering three plus million years right now. And that's certainly, you know, the mind of Christ. Hello?
3 million years of what?
Of memory, that the science has proven that the brain can hold three plus million years of memory in our brains today.
Okay.
So I'd
just like 69 of it. Thank you, Lord.
That really encouraged me because, you know, we all want to. I said, God, I want to use my full capacity if it doesn't blow me up. You know, because we do have the mind of Christ. And that just kind of helped me believe that better, that we do have the mind of Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving me just 69 and 3 million plus. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You know, it's all there. It's all there. It's just a matter of retrieving information. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Brother Hare, this is Linda. I was talking to a lady a few minutes ago, and she has something wrong with the left bottom of her foot. The nerve endings in it, all the way up to her knee, just goes numb, and she can't walk very good on it. And I didn't get her name, but I said, hey, we'll be praying for you. She said, oh, that would be so wonderful.
Okay, she said her hip was messed up.
No, the bottom of her left foot.
Oh, okay. How'd I get hip out of that?
The nerve endings. They start burning and hurting, and she can't walk on it, and it goes all the way up to her knee. She just, a lot of times she just can't walk on it at all. I told her that we'd be praying for her. I didn't get her name.
Okay. Well, Lord, you know who she is, and we come against that bottom of the left foot nerve ending, going dead on her, and we command it to come back alive and give her all kinds of pain relief. We command that foot to be restored as new and nothing be wrong with it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. She's going to get a good night's sleep tonight. She's going to be able to walk wherever she wants to tomorrow in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. And she's going to give Linda the good report. And, Lord, we thank you that this lady's left foot nerve endings have been healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody believe that? I do. Thank you, Lord.
Yep. Amen.
All right. All right. Anyone else?
Yeah, Michael, we need prayer for our memory, too.
Hello.
Oh, man, I'm sitting here praying away on mute. Y'all didn't hear that? Well, Father, we just lift
God heard
up.
It.
Yeah, he did. Well, if we'll pray again so y'all can hear it and believe with me. Father, we thank you that Marlon and Gaino's memory recall has been healed. You healed it at the cross 2,000 years ago. Father, we thank you that their memory banks are working well. Their recall system is working perfect. And their retrieving system is working perfect, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, for complete healing in their brains in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I have a verse here for remembering.
Okay.
It's in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 26. And let's see. Where is it here now? But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. That's it.
Amen. That's enough. Amen. Thank
I want you
Lord.
To know and the life in it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I receive that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray a blanket prayer that verse right there applies to every one of us, Lord. And that our memory banks are restored. We're not under the curse. And we just praise you, Father, that we all have renewed minds of Christ in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Anyone else?
Michael, it's Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Morning. I just have to press my stomach to work as it should be, please.
Okay. I didn't get all that, Joe. I'm sorry. Go ahead and tell me one more time.
Does my stomach as it should work as it should be, please?
Okay. Your stomach. All
yes,
right.
Thanks.
All right. Father, we just come against this attack on Joe's stomach. We command that stomach to line up with the Word of God. And Father, we just praise you that he has no more problems with that. He can eat what he wants. He can drink what he wants without any problems. In the name of Jesus, we command that stomach to be healed in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that Joe is not under the curse either. And that your Word is still true. That by his stripes he was already healed 2,000 years ago. Father, we thank you that Joe is healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right.
Brother Hare.
Amen.
Hey, Brother Hare.
Hey. Is that you, Charlie?
Yeah, uh-huh.
All right.
I was wondering, did you hear about Japan?
Uh-uh.
They got an earthquake, a 6-point. Something another 6.5 or something, I thought maybe we're to pray for God's people that may be over there in amongst all of that tonight.
Okay, that sounds good. Do you mind praying and we'll believe with you?
Father, we come before you tonight in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, dear God. And we ask you, dear God, to remember your people that Japan tonight, Father God. And we ask you, dear God, to surround them with your protection, dear God. And if there's any of them hurt or whatever or trapped, dear Father God, we ask that you send angels to get them out and to take care of your people, Father God. Whatever the measure might call for, Father God, we just call down your protection from on high, Father, for your people there. And we ask you, dear God, to move mightily amongst the Japanese people and help them, dear God, to know within their hearts and minds that the coming of the Lord is nigh, Father God. And we just praise you and we give thanks to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for saving all those people over there, Lord. Lord, they're in such a mess over there. And we just thank you, Lord, for giving them a revival start out over there. In Jesus' name. Was that an earthquake around that Fukushima thing?
I don't know. I didn't get the name. They were just showing all the damage and what was going on over there.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you, Father, for saving your chosen out of that. In the name of Jesus.
Yeah, there were a whole bunch of earthquakes. Japan was one of them. And then yesterday, Burma, of course, had about the same size earthquake. It was pretty deep, though. It affected a lot of countries.
Who was that, Malcolm?
Well, there was an earthquake yesterday in Burma.
In Burma,
I think
okay.
It was yesterday. And then, but they're all about the same size. There's the one in Japan, and then it looked like one down close to New Zealand or somewhere. There's like that whole ring of fire over there.
Yeah.
Just a whole bunch of earthquakes went off.
Ooh, my.
Today or yesterday, so.
Uh-oh.
A lot of activity.
Yeah. Well, somebody was showing me this morning of the earthquakes around us here. There's been a number of them
yeah.
here the last few days here in Tennessee.
Yeah, they're a lot smaller, but they're...
Yeah, smaller, but yeah, some action.
You guys are real blessed there.
Amen. Yep, amen. I'm looking for a boat, man, to think boat. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Father, we
looks
just...
Like,
go ahead.
It looks like that earthquake in Japan, a bigger earthquake was a 6.2 in Japan, and it was like on the southern tip of Japan. But they did have some 4.5s, three of them are in that area where they had Fukushima, or wherever it was, in that area. So they had three of them on the west side of Japan. So, well, I guess that would be the east side of Japan. They did have some significant ones on where they had the nuclear power problem over there, too. So, yeah, they got hit a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been hit. They've been devastated over there quite a bit. What's amazing is still people over there. That's what amazes me. I understand they've got an influx in Hawaii of a lot of Japanese people had moved over there. Probably in various other places too, but anyway, the Lord's going to do what he's wanting us to do. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request or would like to pray?
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir, Chris.
No, just agree with me. My upper body, for restoration, my arms and shoulders are pretty sore from all the work I've been doing, and I'm not going to stop the work, but y'all just believe with me, okay?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
I prayed the prayer. Y'all just join with me. Just, Lord, thank you for restoring my body, and I wake up in the morning refreshed and ready to go again. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you keep Chris going and what he has to do, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you've restored his body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Every joint, in there be healed in the name of Jesus. Every muscle, every tendon be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, brother. We agree.
Okay. Anyone else?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Matthew.
I was wondering if you could pray for us for guidance for a new rig, because we're looking for one, and so we want the definitely want the Lord's approval on that.
Okay. Well, Father, you heard Matthew and Anna. Lord, they want to be in your will. We ask, Lord, that you point them to the right vehicle. Father, that would be a blessing to them, Lord. You know which ones out there that would be a complete blessing to them and that they wouldn't have any problems with, Lord. And we ask that you direct their steps to it, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you because you know what's good and what's not good, Lord. And we just praise you for doing that for Matthew and Anna. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I just ask that you place it in their heart to even ask what color they want. And Lord, they'll, because the more specific you are, the more you're going to get. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. What you want, a blue one, a red one, or what?
My wife says blue.
Okay. Lord, you know the color blue she's talking about, Lord, and we thank you that you're going to come up with that one. And it's going to be the right one for them in Jesus' name. Amen. That ain't too hard for God, is it?
Nope,
it's not. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Matthew and Anna in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anyone else? You know, if you've been listening to David... You know that this April 23rd is the Passover, the second Passover that he talked about. And we talked a little bit about it last Tuesday, about getting ready and getting sanctified to be in the bride. And it's really time. It's time to get serious with God if you want to be in the bride. And I believe everybody in here wants to be in the bride. That is a special place that God's picked out. Remember the story of Esther. She had a special place. She sat at the throne with the Lord, with the king, didn't she? And she had special privileges that the other girls didn't have, that the concubines, the virgins, and all of those other ones didn't have. And that's where God wants us. He wants us all to be in the bride. And the way to get into that bride is to confess all your sins and just run after Him with all your heart. And to do what the Word says. And when you come across something in the Word that you haven't been doing, repent and start doing it. And God will honor you for it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I just ask and pray for everybody here, Lord, in this outreach fellowship, Lord, that you would get us all ready, Lord, that you'd lay our hearts open on the table, that expose any darkness that we could repent of, Father, and to get us ready, Lord. We want to be ready for this great happening that's fixing to take place, Lord. Revival's fixing to open up. The anointing of the man-child. But first, the bride comes in first, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're getting us all ready for this great happening that's fixing to take place. And we ask, Lord, that it would be this time, that it would not be any longer, that you wouldn't put us off any longer, Lord. Some of us have been waiting for a long time for this, Lord. And I know it's in your timing, Lord, but I'm just asking and praying that it will be happening shortly, Lord. Happening shortly. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for showing us what's going on. Lord, I just ask for a special anointing for everybody in here to get ready for the day ahead. And I thank you for it, Lord. Some are ahead of others, but we're all right where you want us, Lord. Because we're all striving to enter that holiness that you want us to walk in. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in each one of us. Praise God. Okay. All right. Now, anybody got a testimony or a praise report?
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Claudia.
Hi. Well, I just wanted to say that my cousin Lisa is doing so much better. She's been in the hospital since December 28th, and many times it seemed like she wasn't going to live, and she is really recovering. So I praise the Lord. I thank
praise
you all for your
God.
Prayers.
Thank you, Lord, for Lisa's complete, total healing.
Yeah, she's going to be in the hospital, I think, another week, and then she'll be home.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy on her. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Well, there's a good praise report right there. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? I will say this, that here's what God's doing here locally. He's cleaning this house up. And those that don't want to clean up and sacrifice their flesh in the world, they're leaving. They're leaving. And that's what God's doing. He's cleaning house. He's cleaning house in a mighty way. And I don't think he's through yet. I don't think he's through yet. We've had some dreams and visions about God cleaning house and removing the tares. And so it's imperative that we run after the Lord and serve the people of God. And, you know, that's our calling, is to serve each other. It's not, we're not to have a title or whatever you want to call it. Our job as ministers of the gospel is to serve one another. If somebody needs your help, help them. If somebody needs something and you got it, give it to them. You know, just like the word says, God, Jesus told us that in Matthew 5 and 6, you know, with the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. And that's what our job is to serve the body of Christ. A lot of people think that ministers are to be up in the pulpit and they're to command this and command that. No, they're to be servants. Servants of the people. Brother of Christ. Brother or sister of Christ. But Lord over the devil. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Lord over the devil. Brothers of Christ and servants of God's people. And you know, I think we're all learning that. I think we're all have a piece of that, and we're doing it. There's been a lot of people in and out of this outreach, but I know that a lot of you here have been here for a long time. Some of you are new, but some of you have been here for a while. But, you know, really, those of you that are new coming in here, I feel like you've been here forever because you just fit right in. Praise God. And that's good. That's a good thing. Praise the Lord. Okay, anybody got any comments, anything they'd like to share with the group tonight?
Yes, my husband has a praise report.
Okay, is this Terry?
Yeah, this is Terry. I'll put Jeff on.
Okay.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. And you?
Good.
Awesome.
Hey, about three weeks ago, you know, I had to go to the airport for work and do some traveling. So took my 91 Ford Ranger and finally hit the interstate. And as soon as I hit the interstate, my lights went dim and my alternator stopped charging. So I quickly found the turnaround and started heading back into town to head back home to change vehicles. And got about a mile or so from home, and I decided, you know, feels like we've been attacked lately, so I think I'll see if I can pray this away. And I started praying about it and saying it out loud, and as soon as I said the word Jesus, the alternator kicked back on and started charging again.
Oh, praise you, Lord.
It was quite the amazing thing.
Thank you, Lord.
And it's still working. No more problems.
Oh, God's a good mechanic, I'm telling you. He's a good mechanic.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And probably that was at night, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was early morning.
Early morning.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That alternator's not going to go out until you either give it to somebody or sell it to somebody or whatever.
Yeah, I've had that thing for about 20 years now, so it's not going anywhere.
Well, you've grown attached to it now, haven't you?
You betcha I have.
Amen. Praise God. Okay. A good one. That's a good one. That's on a 91 Ford Ranger?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to write that down. That's going to be in my testimony section. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael. I just have a praise report. My sister comes to our Bible study, and she's been kind of doubtful for a long time. But she's really got a different attitude lately, and just really think the Lord is changing her. And I just praise Him and thank Him for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for continuing this work in Marlon's sister, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Was y'all blessed the other night by Don and Debbie's testimony?
Amen.
Yeah.
Bob.
Yeah.
Amen.
I wish they was on tonight so we could ask him a question. I thought he was going to be on, but I guess something came up. Yeah, I was blessed too. You know, that was good. That was good. All we have to do is pray and believe for our spouses. That's what I got out of it, is just pray and believe and don't hound them. Don't, you know, do the things that we've done in the past, which we try to change them. And y'all know as well as I do, you can't change nothing. It has to be God. I can't. I'll put it that way. Michael can't change anything. Only God can change them. And as we start and believe and we keep on believing, we endure in our faith to see it happen, it's going to happen. Praise God. Okay. I'd like to pray for a fella that used to come on the conference call, and I don't know if he's been busy or not, but Lord, I lift this person up, and Lord, I ask, Lord, that you place it in his heart to come back on and start sharing again, and sharing the things that you've given him revelations in, Lord. And if there's a spirit of rejection, Lord, I ask that you get rid of it for him. And in the name of Jesus, I come against it and command it to go in Jesus' name. And Father, you know who I'm talking about. And I ask, Lord, for a mighty miracle here in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share tonight?
I have a couple of dreams.
Okay.
And also an experience, I guess you would say, about warning sirens. It was about, I don't know how long ago it was, about a month ago.
Hi, Terry.
Yeah.
Did you say a warning dream?
About warning sirens.
Oh, okay, okay. I'm sorry, I misunderstood you.
So I was awakened really early one morning by what sounded like a car alarm. And then later that afternoon, I went to the grocery store, And as soon as I pulled into the parking lot, an older man's car alarm went off, and he didn't know how to turn it off. And so it just kept on going. And then I think his daughter or somebody went and helped him. But then that night, my husband was outside working on my car a little bit. He was taking something off of it. And he was sitting inside my car out in the driveway. And I heard the horn just keep honking. And so I thought maybe Jeff wanted me to come out there. So I went out there and asked him what was going on. And he said, no, I didn't honk the horn. And he didn't hear any horn. So that whole day, I had heard car horns honking. And so that night, I asked the Lord what it meant, if that was a sign of anything. And he gave me the book of Joel. I opened right up to Joel chapter 1, and I read the whole thing, and it was about two times it said a warning trumpet. Sound the alarm or something like that. It said it two times. And then just a few days ago, I had a dream. And I've had these recurring tornado dreams, and the Lord showed me that it was about the tribulation coming. And this particular dream, the warning sirens were going off. And that's the first time I've ever had a tornado dream where there were sirens in my dream. And at least two times, maybe three times, I was telling the people that were in the house with me, I said, the sirens are sounding. That means the tornadoes are on the ground. I said, that means they're on the ground right now. And I repeated that. And then I looked out the window and I saw that they were coming. And I only convinced one person to go down in the basement. Everybody else just acted like there was no problem. And even it was my sister that I convinced to go down in the basement, and she did it reluctantly. She thought it was silly, and she didn't believe me that a tornado was coming. And then I woke up. After I convinced her to go down there, then I woke up. And the other tornado dream I shared with UVM couple years ago, but it was I had this dream about 8 years ago in September, sometime in September, and I was driving to the hospital with my Aunt Mary to go see my grandma at the hospital, and a tornado started following us, and so we rushed inside to warn everybody, and most of the people went downstairs, and my sons were there. And my sons and I went upstairs with a few other people. And the people that went downstairs all started screaming just terribly. And what had happened was the tornado brought a whole lake into the hospital, and they drowned. The people downstairs all drowned. And my younger son got a little bit wet, and he was very shaken up, and he says, Mom, did you see what happened? And I said, no, what happened? And then I woke up, and I asked God what it meant, and I opened up my Bible to Jeremiah 51. My eye went right to the verse that said, and I will send a destroying wind. So those are my tornado dreams and morning dreams, I guess.
Yeah, do you mind writing that up and sending it in?
Okay, sure.
Yeah, that might go along with some other stuff we got.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds good. I believe we're right there, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Yep, looks like it. Sure looks like it. Well, praise God. Lord, get us ready. Get us ready. You know, we think we're ready, but until it happens, we won't know. I ask the Lord to put faith in my heart to believe Him instead of what I see with your eyes. That'd be the best thing to do, is just pray that God would give you faith to believe the word during all these times of trouble. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. That was good, Terry. That was good. All right. Anyone else? Got a dream, a vision, a word? Anything like that? Testimony, praise report, prayer?
Hello?
Yes, sir, Andrew.
Well, a while back we were told to read Ezekiel 20 by David Ilves on, I think it was Wednesday. And there's Ezekiel 20. There are three verses here that stick out that say the very same thing in them. The 11th verse, the 13th verse, and the 21st verse. It's about when the Lord is telling the people of Israel to keep in His statutes and and in His word and stuff. And the three that that come up have the same words in them, and it goes like this. It's the last half of these verses. It says, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And how do you live in a statute unless it's the word? And you know, Jesus is the word, and He comes to live in us, according to Colossians 1:27. And He said He would fulfill the word in us in Colossians 1:25, and fulfill the law in us from the Sermon on the Mount. And I just found it interesting that those three all have the same words in them that say, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And the word is, for living is the word of God and active in us. And we need to believe that. And it's this spirit of this word in us that gives us this life. And it's just something I noticed, that these three verses had that same thing in it. Anyway, that I just thought I'd mention that.
Well, I'm glad you did. That's good stuff. Do you mind if I read the whole thing?
Are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me? Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Verse 11 says, and I gave them my statutes and showed them mine ordinances, which if a man do, he shall live in them. Now, you said 13, didn't you? But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they rejected mine ordinances, which if a man keep, he shall live in them. There it is again. In my Sabbaths they greatly profaned. Then I said I would pour out my wrath upon them in the wilderness. That's the time coming to consume them. And then I believe it was 21. But the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept mine ordinance to do them, which if a man do, he shall live in them. They profaned my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my wrath upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Well, he said that three times. He's serious about that, isn't he? We need to abide in Christ. That's what the word is talking about there, abiding in Christ. If you abide in Christ, you're going to be fine. It's when we get too much caught up in the world that we don't do that. And if you do that, he says he's going to take care of it. And that's not fun. Pour out my wrath upon them. They profane my Sabbaths. You know what that means? Profane the Sabbaths means they don't... they're not in the rest of God. They're not in the rest that God's in control. And because he's in control, we don't have to worry about anything. Praise God. That's good, Andrew. Thank you so much for bringing that out. That's right where we're at, too, it looks like. Anybody see anything else in that? All right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to talk about?
Michael?
Yeah, Claudia. Go ahead.
Yeah. You were talking about rest, and I had a dream this week where, and it might be for other people, too. It may not be just for our family, but let me see. These people were going to attack us, and they had guns and all sorts of gear to attack us, you know, but nothing worked. The gun didn't go off. They didn't have the bullets in. Everything they had just was not working. And then I had another scene in that dream, and that was where we were in a living room, and I had a real high ceiling, and it had a light on, and we were in bed sleeping, just resting. And that was it.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the ladies here had a dream where the enemy came up to the yard, and all of us were in this house. And the leader of the enemy said, "We've got the title to that building. Y'all got to get out." And so, after a little bit of talk there, she said that we all decided to. We were trying to figure out how we could all get out of there, and of course they were making real snide and arrogant remarks the whole time. And she looked out back and she saw some black suitcases out there with a light blinking on them, you know, like a end time light, you know, like one tick tock tick. That's what I thought about, you know, and so they had wanted to figure out. We had wanted to figure out what they were, and since we were leaving, we didn't care. We'd let them handle it, you know. And it sounds to me like the Sennacherib scenario where God wiped out that 185,000 people, you know, in one little blast there. So it might have been a dirty bomb. So anyway, that was a dream that we had. So it kind of goes along with what you're talking about there, the dream that you had.
Neat.
Yeah. God's going to take care of his people. He's going to take care of them. And those people that come against God's people, they're going to be scattered. God's wrath is going to come down. You know, that's the demons. He's going to scatter them demons. And the people who don't want to get rid of them, they're going to be scattered too. Praise God. That's a good dream. Would you mind writing that up, Claudia, and sending it in? Because it's going to go along with that one that this lady had.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that and send it to you then.
You can send it to me. That'd be fine.
Okay,
I'll send it over to David.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, thank you. All right, anybody else?
Hello, Michael.
Yes, Gaino.
Oh, I have a verse I was going to share, and I believe it really goes with her dream. And one day I asked the Lord for a verse, and my finger was on a cross-reference, but it was 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." That's the first part of of that verse, but I just think that really goes with her dream.
Amen. That's a good one, too. Thank you so much. Awesome. Lord's just putting stuff together, isn't he? We have a part, and you've got a part, and everybody's got a part. And when all the parts come together, it tells us something. Praise the Lord. Okay, anybody else got something they'd like to share? Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm. Somebody might have tried to call him or something. All right, anybody else?
Michael, did you hear what I said?
No, I didn't.
Well, my phone, I guess, went haywire.
I can hear you now.
I didn't hear anything. So, am I interrupting?
Oh no, you got the floor. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have a dream that it's probably not for publication, but it was just interesting. I was at my wife's aunt and uncle's place here in the dream, and some folks had been logging down. They had some really heavy equipment down there, and we were standing up there by their house, and pretty soon we heard this some heavy equipment coming up the driveway, and I figured it was the logging equipment coming up, or maybe it was the end of the day or something. But here came some smaller vehicles. One of them was kind of nondescript. One of them was kind of black, kind of a rectangular something. I don't know. Then there was this motor was just going away, heavy motor, and here came this long. It was. My goodness, it must have been like twice as long as a limousine, but it was this heavy, very, very heavy vehicle. I don't know if there were seats inside, but it looked like there were, with extremely heavy glass at each seat, big glass, big panes of glass, but it was like a bulletproof glass. It was, I don't know, like it was an inch or two thick, and the metal in this thing was just super heavy stuff. Anyway, this engine, was just going away, and they were just slowly coming up that hill, and it was like a, and then they finally parked, and all these people started coming out, and the two kids came over. It looks like they were up to no good. They just started spitting in whatever water was available in it. I think they were out of water there at the house. So they just were intentionally trying to, sabotage everything. And then I just woke up. But I looked over those vehicles, and I thought, well, that's... I've never, ever seen or even heard of a vehicle like that was fairly low to the ground, and it didn't look like any kind of military thing. It was just designed to transport something very securely. It looks like a mine could go off or whatever, and that thing would be fine. I don't know.
Okay, so you had a bad feeling about the people coming up.
Well, they were up to no good. They were just kind of taking over. But I stayed there because I was concerned for my wife's aunt and uncle. I thought I'd better stay and see what I can do, make sure. Anyway.
Amen.
It may be just one of those pizza dreams.
Well, I don't know. I believe we're going to see that, People coming up. It's kind of an anarchy going on in the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody see anything in that dream that Malcolm had? What about you, Missy? She's in there eating an oatmeal cookie, I bet you. All right. Anybody else?
There's no reason in it.
Okay. Do what?
I was trying to unmute. But you were almost close there. I just a little bit ago just sent me a cookie. I need some more.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't know. I don't know what to make of this dream. I didn't. Yeah, sounds pretty bizarre. I don't think it was a pizza dream, Malcolm.
Yeah, I think it was showing you how things could be in the days ahead, that people aren't going to obey the law because they're thirsty or hungry or they need something, and they're just going to take what they can get.
I got the feeling it was kind of an official thing. It was planned. It wasn't like just a bunch of people got together. There was something nefarious going on there.
Ah, okay. So
it's like the kids had been well versed on what to do when they got there, and the people, everybody had something that they were supposed to do.
Kind of like martial law. You remember what?
I don't know. I didn't see any official. There was nothing official going on. It was just very well thought out, and you know, it's very. But that vehicle is very, very unusual. I've heard of other dreams where these enormous vehicles come in. They're so wide they mow the mailboxes down, and they remember that dream that somebody had about this incinerator type thing that they put bodies in after they've killed people and burned them up.
Yep. I've seen some of those. Hadn't seen a vehicle like that, but I've seen dreams. Mobile incinerator.
Malcolm, what color was that vehicle?
The vehicle, it was not, it was kind of a copper color, but there was a lot of glass along the sides. And I really don't know if it was designed for people to sit there or what, but it was the heaviest thing I've ever seen.
Was it quite large and carried a lot of people?
No, it wasn't wide, but it was very long.
I see.
Actually, considering the terrain around here, they would have never made it up past all the corners in the driveway.
Except it was in a dream.
Yeah. Amazing how everything works out.
Oh, I know. I know. Well, the other night, just talking about dreams, I had a dream right before I woke up, and I saw a hornet. It wasn't a dream, it was a vision, I guess. I saw a hornet, and it was so real, I woke up swatting at that thing. I did. And I just think it was a sign of an attack coming. We prayed it down. Yeah, I mean, I woke up swinging at that thing. I don't know if y'all ever did that before, but I did. I said, "Get out of here, pal!" Oh my, it's a big old hornet too, boy. Single. All right, anybody else? David called me out here, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. He said, "Come out here and look at this." I said, "What is that? Looks like a hornet." He said there's a wasp's nest up there on the dormer window, on my dormer window. I said, "Yeah, there's probably a few of them up there, but it wasn't a wasp's nest." He meant to say hornet's nest, and it is a huge hornet nest up there. And I said, "Well, why don't you get up there and knock that thing down?" he wouldn't do it. Of course, I wouldn't either. And so it was with some of those cool mornings that we had a couple of weeks ago. And so we got some hornet spray. And he said, "Now, I'll open the window. You stick your head out and spray that hornet's nest, and I'll slam the window down." I said, "No, wait a minute. I got a better idea." So I said, "I'll get in there. I'll get out there, and I'll spray it." And he said, "Well, you need a helmet or something on your head." So we went down and got a welding helmet, and I put it on me. I got me all kinds of protective gear that I could think of. But I'm still kind of fearful because I've messed with those things before. Them hornets get bad mad when you mess with them. And I stuck my face out the window and I saw the thing and I squirted for about 2 seconds and I jumped back inside the window and slammed it down. And you know, we didn't see a hornet that day. And so the next morning it was cool again. Those hornets, they don't move around real quick when it's cool. And so you can get a lot done. So I got a little brave that morning. And I sat out there and I sprayed it again and I slammed the window. And then about 2 hours later, I did the same thing. And you know, I guess that stuff just soaks through and kills them, because we hadn't seen a hornet coming in and out of that thing. And today it was up there, you know, probably about 75 or so. And you'd have thought that they would have been out and about. But I looked up there this afternoon, and I couldn't see them flying. And we prayed against them, too. So I suspect we've got a hornet nest up there full of dead hornets. And I'm looking for volunteers, somebody with some great faith, to get up there and clean that off my dormer window, if you would. Malcolm, would you do that for me? He ain't answering. Boy, that's a big one, too. It's a James Dandy. All right. Anybody else?
Well, I can tell you one thing. Before I go out there, I'd just ask everybody, let us spray.
Well, I think I'm going to give it another few days and kind of watch it. I think it's supposed to be warm the next few days, and kind of watch it and see what happens. I think they're dead. I really do, because generally David's been shooting it with his BB gun, and they hadn't been stirring in and out of it. He did it one time. First time he did it, there was probably seven or eight of them that came out. And it was kind of a cool morning. They were flying kind of slow. So we know that there were hornets in it at one time when we first started. But I bet they're all dead by now. I just believe in that. I'm going to see if I can get David up there to get that thing off. Amen. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share?
Well, I do, Michael.
All right, Missy.
Talking about cookies.
Oh, that's right. You got a praise report, don't you?
Yeah, long story short, the gist of it is I made these, it was kind of cool, actually. I'll go back to, I had oatmeal with dried blueberries in it yesterday morning, and came into my mind to make oatmeal cookies, and I thought, I'll make it, and then I thought, then what came to me was to take some to Sandy, and I thought, I shot it down. I thought, nah, she ain't going to want to eat any, blueberry cookies, oatmeal cookies or whatever. But anyway, I went over later in the day over to Jeff and Sandy's, and I was talking to Sandy, and he says, boy, for some reason, I just really been wanting to eat some oatmeal cookies. And I looked at her, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that had to have been the Lord that told me that. So I came back, and I made some cookies, and I took them to her then. But anyway, I was counting my cookies, the cranberry ones. I made half cranberry and half blueberry. And the cranberry ones, I only had 16 of them, 12 on one pan and four on the other pan. And I thought, okay, well, that's going to leave me one left, because I was going to give nine to Jess and Sandy and her mom and six to David and Michael. So that makes 15, one extra. And I would only had one. Well, by the time I took out the small pan, I had eaten the one cookie. I had them all laying out there, and I was dividing them up, and I'm counting them, and I'm counting them, and recounting them, and I'm like, am I crazy? I know I had 12 on the one pan and four on the other pan. Here I had three extra cookies. The Lord multiplied those cookies. He gave me three extra cookies. But anyway, I was just like, wow, Lord's awesome. That's the first time He's ever done anything like that for me. So I just kind of figured that the Lord blessed me with three extra cookies, because I was giving most of them away and wasn't keeping them for myself. Best thing I could figure.
Amen.
And just seeing me go, wow, that's awesome, Lord. That's pretty cool. Lord's awesome.
Yeah, and as the old boy said, them were good too.
Yeah, you know what? My oven must be about 25 degrees too hot, because like I went to eat some of them today, and I'm like, ugh. I didn't realize at the time, when you take them out of the oven fresh and they're still warm, they're usually, you know, nice and soft. But anyway, so I made some more today, and I took the temperature down 25 degrees, and they were a lot better. They were. I think I cooked the other ones too long.
I don't think so. They were good. That's the way I like them. I like them crispy like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, David, he'll eat anything, so.
He's just glad he ain't got to cook.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Well, I don't have anything to share. Just what y'all want to talk about. I got a new book today. There's a nice little thing on the web called Thrift Books, THRIFTBOOKS, and you can buy used books there, and they have a lot of these old saints like Andrew Murray books and E.M. Bounds books and John G. Lake books, and I've bought a number of them from them, and it's really, they're cheap, you know, around $3.50 a piece. A piece, and depending on the book, most of them are about 3.5. And today, I've been wanting this book for a while. It's called John G. Lake, His Life, His Sermons, His Boldness of Faith. And I believe it's written by Gordon Lindsay. Let me look here. And I've been wanting to get this for quite some time. This is one by Kenneth Copeland. Kent Copeland Publications, they're the ones that published it. But anyway, it's I'm kind of perusing through it this afternoon, and it has his short biography in there, but it looks like to me it has a lot of his testimonies. It's got some pictures in there of him and the things that he did. I tell you what, I've always liked the man, John G. Lake. He had a lot of integrity and character, and he was a student of the Word. And he had some good teachings even back then. Now, I never did see anything on that he taught on end times. I think he kind of steered away from that because he really didn't have a gift for that. But when it came to faith and healing and holiness and perfection in Christ, he was a good teacher of that. Oh, one thing I wanted to mention to y'all, and this is for everybody. Nora brought this out to me. She watched that Last Reformation movie, the Last Reformation movie, and there seems to be possibly, I'm not going to say it is, because it looks like there's some deliverances going on and some healings going, at least temporary healings anyway, but he at one point he mentions when he's praying for somebody to be, I think it was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was saying freedom, freedom, free. No, he was casting a demon out, I think. He was saying free, free, freedom, freedom, or something like that, kind of like a mantra. But he might have just picked that up from somebody. But another time, he said more, more, more when he was talking about baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we just all have to be careful. I know some of his teachings are a little bit in error. In fact, David has written some of his people early on that they were in error as far as what they believe as what gets people healed. What gets people healed, as you already probably know, is the people that you're praying for's faith. That gets all kinds of people healed. Well, they believe that their faith can bust through anybody's unbelief and get them healed. Well, you can to an extent, but the Word of God says that the people must have, you know, Jesus was always telling the people, because of your faith, you're healed, you know. You are healed. And he said that time and time again. And so we just have to be very careful. That came from Andrew Strom, and Strom, I know, is basically against the false revival. In fact, he's got books written on it, and also he's got a lot of videos out there against the false revival. So I'm not real sure if this guy, Sundergaard or whatever his name has been infected with that false revival, or he's just kind of mocking what somebody else has said. But reason I'm telling you this is just be careful. Just be careful what you listen to. Line it up with the Word of God. If you line it up with the Word of God, you'll never go wrong. Saying that, you know, I always love to see people get healed and delivered and set free, and that's the reason I popped it up. And I knew Andrew Strom, and I knew that he was against the false revival, so we're going to give this guy the benefit of the doubt. But like I said, we all need to have some discernment here. You can't accept everything that we put out there as we stand behind it 100%, because we don't. We're just putting stuff out there at times, or I do, that benefit people right then. That doesn't mean that everything that they've got is scriptural. Just that one particular item might be. So you got to have some discernment. And I'm just putting a disclaimer out there, you know, so that people won't get caught up into something that shouldn't be.
Michael.
Yes, sir.
This is Malcolm. I went through all of his 20 lessons that they had on the previous school, the Pioneer School. And they're about, the lessons are, I think, about an hour and a half each or so. It was spread out over quite a period of time. But I've also watched a lot of the footage where he's casting out demons or praying for somebody to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's really death on the whole false revival stuff. He's very, very strong about that. And some folks came into the Pioneer School that were involved in that, and so it was, you know, he's had to confront a lot of that stuff. But you do have to be, perceptive in having, just keep your eyes open and not just buy into everything. So something he does, that Torben personally does when he's praying for somebody to be filled with the Holy Spirit, is he puts his head down really close to the other person's head, and sometimes he's almost yelling in tongues. I don't know that the apostles did that. I've just given him the benefit of the doubt on that. Or when he's kicking out demons, he'll do the same repetitive statements, to get the demons out. And I guess we have to leave. I don't know that we have to leave room for people to have their own personal way of ministry, but I just can't see myself doing any of those things, either kicking out demons or praying for somebody to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because. And you see some of the footage of other people doing that, and they're not doing that same kind of behavior. So,
just because we haven't seen it before, and it works for him. You remember what Smith Wigglesworth used to do when he'd pray for healing of somebody? He'd liably smack them right where it hurts, you know, right in the stomach or whatever, you know, and that wasn't kosher either, but he got results. He had big results. So I'm like you, you know, we just kind of need to be careful with what we see.
I really enjoy watching, you know, him ministering to people and whatnot, but I just don't see myself if I were, and mind you, I don't have that kind of experience or anything. It's just that I don't think anybody has to get stuck in a rut in ministry. I can't see myself yelling in somebody's ear, poor person. You know, Tarpman's, if you watch him, he'll be praying for somebody or casting out a demon or whatever, and his veins on his neck are just standing out, and his face is red, and he's, you know. So,
yeah,
pretty, but, you know, I'm sure you've seen, I mean, in your ministering to people that you don't have to do that. Anyway, whatever.
Well, you know, what I generally do is stand back away from them and command that demon to come out. And I might get loud, too. But I'm not going to grab him like he did and all that. But that's just the way he does it, you know. And he's apparently has had some good results with that. So, you know, far be it from me to question how he does it, as long as he's getting results. Go ahead.
I you know, I don't know. The Lord has put him through a lot of really, he and his wife, a lot of really terrible stuff. And, you know, and he talked about that in another video recently, but he's pretty hard on the false revival stuff. But, you know, like you say, you want to be careful about any kind of mantra or repetitive anything. And so, anyway.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's always good advice, is to just be careful and make sure that they're scriptural, you know. I don't know how Peter cast out demons, but I don't know. He might have got wild, you know. I don't know. But I've seen different ways people do it, you know. David and I do it about the same, you know. We stand back and it depending on the situation. I remember one time we prayed for this lady that had been hooked on drugs for a long time. And she was sitting in a regular straight back chair. She when I commanded that demon out of her, she turned into a snake. I've never seen anything like that. It's like she didn't have a bone in her body. Man, she took on the shape of that chair, and she comes slithering out of that thing. It's like you see a cartoon. And got on the floor and wandered around like a snake. And I used to teach on a Tuesday and a Thursday night at a church, teaching healing and deliverance and how to do it in that kind of way, how to have faith and all that. Anyway, she'd come out, and one of the ladies come up, "Do you want me to open the window?" I said, "Do whatever you think you need to do, but we're going to get this demon out of here." And when we cast that demon out, the brightest shine on that woman's face, I mean, she shone like a new dime when that demon went out, and she was so relieved. She was so free from the bondage of that enemy that had guided her all these many years. And it was such a blessing to see how the transformation that took place in her. And it was awesome. But I'm telling you, that demon had her. She didn't have a joint in her body, it didn't look like. I mean, she came off of that thing. But we commanded that thing out, you know. And you just have to be persistent, because they want to hang on. A lot of people give up too early. You just keep commanding that thing out. Keep commanding that thing out. And it's got to go. It really has to go. And when you got people in there that are intercessors anyway, it doesn't take a whole long time to get them out. And boy, that's and I just stood back and just commanded that thing out of her. I said, "You come out in the name of Jesus." And that's it. And it has to obey. It didn't want to, but it had to. That was just a glaring example of what happens sometimes. Them demons. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share?
Well, Michael, a comment about the what you were talking about, you know, Corbin, whatever his name is, casting demons out of people that I was just, like, watching it and wondering about that, too. You know, it seemed like, you know, like we know deliverance or healing is a children's bread, and it just seemed like he was just, it didn't matter if they were Christians or not, you know. It seemed like most people, a lot of them weren't, you know. But then I think he's always diligent to preach the gospel to them then.
Yeah, well, that was one of the things that I saw that I had some problems with, and that was that they believe that they can pray for anybody and get them healed, and of course that doesn't line up with scripture, just like you said.
Yeah, that kind of concerned me, but thought I'd comment about that.
You know, that doesn't mean to say that God won't, because, you know, if you remember the Syrophoenician woman and also the centurion, God healed those because of their faith. They came to him, though, if you remember.
Yeah. Exactly.
He didn't go out to them. They came to him. And that showed God, that showed Jesus right then that they had faith to believe. And so they repent and believe. Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Yep.
So, essentially, that's the way I always took it. And, you know, when you minister to God's people, you'll see a lot better results. If you check that thing out, most of it was pain, you know, getting rid of pain from people. You don't know if 2 hours later that pain didn't come back on those people. Don't know. I don't know, you know, but that's what happens when you pray for unsaved people, is that stuff generally comes back on them. Funny story, and I'll leave it at that. Went up to this trailer house one evening and knocked on the door. I was going door to door in this neighborhood. It was kind of a poor neighborhood, praying for folks, and I asked this guy, come to the door. I said, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I said, well, is there anything out of the ordinary going on with you that you need prayer for, you know? And he said, boy, let me tell you, he said, I wake up at night and things are flying around in the house here. And he said, doors are closed with nobody in the house but me. And he said, cabinet doors are closed and nobody's in the house but me. And he said, all kinds of demonic activities going on. I said, well, do you want to get rid of them? He said, I sure do. I said, well, let me tell you, here's what God said. He said, if we clean that house for you, you need to fill it up with the word of God, because if you don't, them demons will grab 7 more worse than they was and bring them on back in there. He said, I tell you what, I got a better idea. He said, maybe we ought to wait a little while. He said, I kind of like my beer right now. True story. He didn't want to be free of them, because he didn't want them 7 stronger than him coming in there on that trailer house with him in there by himself. Anyway, that was a true story. I laughed when he told me that. I said, man, you need to get saved. He said, yeah, but I ain't ready yet. Anyway, anybody else? Anybody got anything you want to pray for? But I'm going to tell you one more little old story, and then we'll pray. I went up to this, about that same time, in that same neighborhood. It was out in the country. It was a little trailer park out in the country. And this was one of those double wides that had a porch on it. And there was a couple of women out there. And I pulled in there and started talking to them about Jesus, you know. And both of them were ready. I mean, they were just waiting on somebody to come up and give the gospel to them. And I prayed for them, and they accepted Jesus. And a daughter come up, she accepted Jesus. And I don't know, there was four or five of them that came up. And we just had a real good time out there that night. It was four or five of them that got saved that night. It was awesome. Sometimes that happens. Praise God. It was God ordained. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to say before we close out tonight?
Well, Michael, earlier when I was making cookies and I was like moving my knee, bent down or something, I don't know if I strained my knee or what, but it's just sore. This right around the edge of the my kneecap on the inside, and I just want to pray against that and command it to be healed. So,
okay, you want to pray, and we'll believe with you.
Okay, well, in the name of Jesus, I just command this knee to be healed. I command this pain to go in Jesus' name, and I'm not under the curse, and by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, and I thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We believe that Missy's knee is healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. Anybody else? Well, Lord, we just praise you about all the testimonies we had tonight and all the prayers that were answered, because we know all our prayers are answered, Lord, because we believe. We believe what we pray is going to happen. And Lord, when you said when we believe that it's going to be done, and we believe that, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we started this this prayer log and this testimony log. And we're going to see just in a few months of all the works that you've done for us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for placing it in my heart to keep this log so we'll know and see all of the testimonies that you've given us, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that you're getting us all ready for this great happening that's going to take place here, looks like very shortly. And getting us into the bride, Lord, every one of us. And I thank you for it, Father. And I ask, Lord, that you bless everybody here with a good night's sleep tonight, that we all have deep, restful sleep. In the name of Jesus. Lord, give us some more dreams and visions about the days ahead, and warn us when there's something going to happen, Lord, so that we can pray against it. And Father, we just thank you for all that you're doing for everyone. And we thank you for these warning dreams you've given us, Lord, that we've prayed against, and you have thwarted, stopped them cold in their tracks, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We just praise you, Father, for helping us out tonight. It's been an awesome time with you, Lord, and we just thank you for these good dreams, these warning dreams that we've gotten, and we just praise you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, saints. God bless you.